Today on Real Radio.
Listen to this. It's a great verse. It doesn't include everybody, but it's pretty good. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, so he engineers the place, in the days of, that means the timing, Herod the king. He was for real. He actually lived.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a series of presentations in light of this year's Christmas celebration. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called When God Came Down.
1 Timothy 3:16. You've heard me give you this verse before. It is so exciting to me. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested. God was revealed, unveiled, shown in the flesh. Stop right there. When was God ever displaying himself in flesh? It's the Christmas story. How do you know that? It's going to tell you in a moment. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. But that word seen by angels, I want you to look at that for a second. That word seen in Greek means this, that angels, listen, angels at the birth of Jesus Christ, the word seen means they gawked open mouth and wide-eyed at the birth of God being revealed to mankind in human flesh. It freaked them out. You guys, angels freaked out at the Christmas moment. That ought to turn you on. Angels, now look, we know from the Old Testament that, now watch this. Do we know for a fact that angels actually look upon the face of God? We actually, by fact, know this. They do come in the presence of God, angels do. In fact, even to this moment, even Lucifer has the opportunity to appear before God. But nowhere does it say that they look at God face to face. That's implied. We've always thought that. Check this out. We know that seraphim, a type of angel, appears before God. And those angelic beings, they have six wings. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, that they fly with two wings in the presence of God. And with the other set of wings, with two wings, they cover their bodies. Isn't that weird? They shield themselves in the presence of God. And with the other two wings, they cover their face in the presence of God. What am I saying? That according to 1 Timothy 3:16, that when Jesus was being born, angels gathered around and gawked with wide eyes at the birthing of Jesus into the world. Why? Because it was the first time angels had ever seen their Creator face to face. They freaked. And of all things, for God to reveal himself to the angelic host via human skin. The miracle of Christmas is that God came down. He came to visit us, not as an angel. He came down to us veiled in human flesh. The Savior of the world, exposed to mankind, exposed to angels. And I wonder what was going on in those angels when they were talking or thinking, to see their Creator coming out of a mere mortal, veiled in human skin. And they saw that black curly hair. He comes out, and they saw that the face and the hands and the arms. Can you imagine how amazing that must have been? The Christmas story revealed. Point number two this morning, when God came down, his timing was perfect. His timing was perfect. You see, Jack, I wish it would have happened now in my lifetime. Why? Honestly, why do you think that? Well, I want to see it. Why? We don't have to see it. That's the cool thing about the Bible. The Bible tells you for thousands of years in advance what's going to happen. And then he comes. And now we've got the results found in the New Testament of after he came. You have got an amazing document in your lap called the Bible, which compares with no other book in all of the universe of perfect accounting, which, by the way, if you would, as many have, taken this book, the Bible, and put it under the scrutiny of a courtroom hearing and put the Bible on trial, it is absolutely created to be able to defend itself against all attacks. Did you know that? Even the attacks of those who doubt. Even the attacks of those who don't believe. Here's the cool thing. People who do not believe in the Christmas story are willfully ignorant to what God has given. If you have the energy and the heart, you can search this and you can approach it as many have with great doubt and say, I'm going to prove it wrong. Go ahead. The Bible says, come on, take me on and prove me wrong. Here's what happens. Like Paul the Apostle, Saul of Tarsus, you wind up getting converted. It's undeniable. God's timing's perfect. Number one, it's this way. His timing was foreordained according to the Bible. As to when and to where and to how he would come about, the Lord sent out a signal to all of mankind through his prophets, all of it written right on your lap in the Bible in black and white. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, that's an awesome statement. In other words, translation of our day, right on time. You ever heard that song, Our God, how's it go? He's a on-time kind of God or whatever it is, right? That's exactly correct. That's biblical, you know? At just the right time, according to God's planning, he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 says, for God promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, that's the Old Testament, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, that is that he had on Mary's side, David's blood in him, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. Deity. What an awesome thing. The Christmas story is God meets man. It was foreordained. Secondly, it's significant. His timing was significant. What do we mean by that regarding his timing being perfect? Significant by the impact, no doubt, by the relevance to our human condition. The Lord came in a time that seemed absolutely hopeless to the people of Israel, and for that matter, to those who were under Roman occupation. But listen to what God's heart is all about. In fact, think about this. Israel was under the dominance of Rome. If you've read the book of Daniel, the Roman Empire, according to the Bible, is the most brutal, powerful empire that would ever rule the earth. At just the right time, during the most brutal, most powerful empire to ever rule the earth, God had his nation under the captivity of the Jewish people, or them being captive, I should say, by the Roman Empire, and that's when he sends his son. Church, I want to tell you right now, I don't know what you're going through right now, but whatever it is, listen, whatever it is, and this goes for all of us, starting with me first, that whatever's going on in our lives, whatever's going on in our life as a church, whatever's going on in your life personally, God knows, and God sends his rescue, his hope, his promise at times just like this. It's what he does. He loves it. He loves to be the one who comes at just the right time with just the right plan into your life. That's why this Christmas, it's great for you to just take a flying leap at your Christmas tree and dive right underneath it and put a bow right on your forehead and say, Lord, here I am. I give myself to you because there's no other place to go. God is relevant. The impact he made in the world at such a significant moment is perfect. Matthew 9:36. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. That's the heart of your God. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Significant. Aren't you happy? You know, we're actually so used to it, we don't get excited anymore. But the Christmas story, the Christmas message, ought to just make us go crazy. Because we're talking about a God who revealed himself all in love. He looks at us and he says, man, I have compassion on you. Don't you want compassion? I don't care who you are. I'll answer it for you. Yes, you do. 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. It is God who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The word due time is at just the right moment. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:21 to chapter 6, verse 2. For he, that is God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he said, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the great thing about the gospel, and for that matter, the entire Bible. Even though Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, those who arrived before the cross looked for him for salvation. Those of us after the cross look back to him for salvation. The issue is salvation. And the timing is now. What in the world are you going to be celebrating at Christmas? If you don't have his salvation, what are you doing? You're wasting your money. You're wasting your time. He came to save. More on this in a moment. It's going to get me excited. I haven't been excited just yet, but I'm coming to the exciting part. His timing was intentional. His timing was intentional. Meaning that it's not done in a secret place. It's bold. It's out there. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says there, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his own Son. Wow. How intentional. Oh, church, you need this. People are knocking on your doors. They were at my neighborhood last week. I was highly offended, though. I think I told you guys. They were knocking on doors, knocking on doors. They came to my house. They walked up to my house. A guy looked at a piece of paper. He looked at the address out on the curb. You know, it's on the, you know, the curb. He looks at the address on the curb, looks at a piece of paper, looks at my house, and went to the next street. I mean, to the next house over. They bypassed my house. It was a certain cult group with their briefcases and very well dressed with their family in tow. They went to my neighbors, skip my house, neighbors. Made me want to run out there. Hey, you forgot me! I'm a marked man. How intentional? This is a good verse to have at your doorstep when people come a-knocking. It's John 1:1. It begins there, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 says, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Keep reading John chapter 1, you come to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And all God's people said, amen. That is awesome news. Point number 3, and this is where it gets exciting. There was a divine purpose to his coming. A divine purpose. He had engineered, and I use that word intentionally. He engineered the message. God did. More people, as I said earlier, around the world celebrate Christmas than any other event celebrated in human history every year. Why should someone, listen, I'm asking a question. Beyond the walls of this church, why should someone be against Christmas? What's your problem? What's your problem, ACLU? Honestly, what are you afraid of? What's your problem? Why should someone stop Christmas songs from being sung in our public schools? What's wrong with you, school system, school board? What's wrong with you, Sacramento? What's wrong with you, Washington, D.C.? Why do we have to go around? Listen, I'm getting pumped now. I'm warning. Warning. Warning, Will Robinson. Warning. Listen, what's the problem? What are you afraid of? Well, I don't believe in Christmas. That's your business. Don't believe in it if you don't like it. But leave us out of your unbelief. Well, you know what I think? We have to share all exercise or all reasons for and all different faiths and all different celebrations. Who said? Go to our founding fathers. Who said? You want to worship some other system? You want to worship some other god? Then why don't you begin by worshiping that other god by going to the countries where those gods came from? Listen, you have come to a Christian nation. Listen, if I move to Germany, I'm going to learn German because it's required by law. Did you know that? Germans, listen, they build Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and they're smart. You move to Germany, you have to learn German. You have so much time to learn German. Did you know that? Did you know that Theodore Roosevelt, one of our presidents, said, you had to learn English or you got to go? Roosevelt said that. That's very intolerant. No, listen. The globe is big and it's round. And God's made it so you can go anywhere you want to go. Joshua put it this way, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Here's the deal. Christmas is exclusively a Christian announcement to the world. We didn't make it up. We are Christians because God announced it. This is serious stuff. Nobody wants to talk about this stuff. Well, listen, I'm just getting warmed up for these next 3 weeks. Why should someone protest Christmas being celebrated in our public square? Isn't it funny? The stores sure want our Christmas bucks. And the local governments sure want us to spend our Christmas bucks at the Christmas stores to buy Christmas junk to give to people because they tax the Christmas profits. And everyone's talking about last Friday being Black Friday to get all the stores in America out of the red and into the black. Do you know what they're doing? They're praying to the God of Mammon, the God of money. Please talk to those people to go buy Christmas gifts as long as they avoid Jesus. And not figure out what it's all about. Think about it. Have you ever stopped to think why Christmas is such a big deal all around the world? It's the best message in the universe. Think about it. Why are people upset with it? Christmas is offensive to people. And the angel appeared and said, "Behold, I bring you tidings of a tremendous offense. People will be bummed. They'll have no joy." Only attorneys can make it wrong. Well, we're going to sue you. And so Miami, other cities, take down all the Christmas decorations. Amazing. Unless you're a card-carrying member of the ACLU or some cult follower in some backward medieval religion, Christmas is awesome. But to others, oh, it's an offense. The Discovery Channel... spectacular. The Discovery Channel this month, National Geographic, the History Channel, all of them, they've already begun their annual attacks on Christmas and Jesus and the Bible, all month long attacks. The truth is always attacked, by the way. That's how it stands. I just find it amazing that those same channels would never attack other religions. Think of that. Well, they might get beheaded if they attempt that. What's the Christian going to do when their Bible, when their God, when their Christmas is attacked? You know what? Nothing. We don't do anything. You want to know why? It's not that we don't care. It's that our God's real. Amen. We don't have to run around and go nuts and defend him. He doesn't need us to defend him. He's really big, real strong. You know what? When he scratches, you know, or when he moves his pinky finger, he can cause an earthquake. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't need us to defend him. It's pretty sad if you have a make-believe God that you have to defend. Your God's real. He came down. It's amazing. Is this too politically incorrect? Ask me if I care. Seriously. That's how we got messed up in the first place. He's also engineered the participants. The Roman Empire, for example. It's awesome, had Israel under rule. The Greek language was being spoken throughout the entire known world at that time, like a stage being sent. He had engineered the participants. Listen to this. It's a great verse. It doesn't include everybody, but it's pretty good. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, so he engineers the place, in the days of, that means the timing, Herod the king, he was for real. He actually lived. This is archaeologically accurate. Behold, wise men, they were real. They're called magi. Did you know that? Oh, do you guys know? Any smarty pants out there? Shout it out if you know. Where did the magi, not where, who invented the magi according to ancient history? Say it louder. I heard it over here. Daniel. Daniel, when he was in captivity in Babylon, created the magi. The magi came from Persia, or from Babylon, I should say. From the east, they came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." What an amazing collection of archaeological fact in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. All of the players right there mentioned are archaeologically, historically real. But that's not all of them, of course, but there's the Jewish nation, there's Pontius Pilate, there's the angels involved. Amazing. God involves the participants. And the truth of the matter is, you and I today are still participating in the Christmas message, the Christmas story, because you have the choice, the opportunity to receive Christ or reject him, to accept God's gift or to send the gift back. And then we end with this. He engineered the outcome. God did the outcome. Now, I want to say this very carefully. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When I say that he engineered the outcome, I'm not saying that he has predetermined things so that you have no choice. In fact, listen very carefully. The exact opposite is true. God has engineered the outcome, meaning this, that he engineered the outcome this way, that God, and this should not be hard for any of us to grasp, God has engineered into every human being the ability to select or choose or determine for themselves. Did you know that? That did not come from evolution. That didn't come from Chuck Darwin. It comes from God Almighty. And you, by the way, you very much appreciate that. You and I have been engineered to choose things. You and I will choose. When the service is over, you're going to choose to go home and eat breakfast, or to go take a drive, or to go out to breakfast, whatever you want to do, you're going to choose, aren't you? And the waitress or the waiter is going to hand you a menu. Why? Because they know something, that you have the right to choose. That's a God-given right. You can be in communist China, and if somebody hands you a menu, how funny is that? It's a totally living contradiction. You're in a place where you can't think for yourself, but then they hand you a menu so you can pick something from the menu. Because inside you have the desire of choice. God put that in you. You're not a computer. You're not an automaton. You're not a robot. And you will choose. You chose to come here this morning. Here's the thing, though, that our culture refuses to accept. God says, you have free. You're free to choose. Just understand, you're responsible for your choice.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation taken from a number of scripture passages on the Christmas story. It's called When God Came Down. A mini-series we're presenting all this week in light of the Christmas celebration, also known as the Incarnation. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now this series, When God Came Down, is available for purchase on DVD from Real Radio. For a cost of $20 or more, we'll send you this four-part series on DVD. Just ask for it by name. When God Came Down by Jack Hibbs for a cost of $20 or more if you'd like to contribute to the outreach of Real Radio. Now there's more than one way to get in touch. First, you can visit our website at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know where to point and click. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to purchase it the traditional way, you can send a check to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous tax-deductible contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you a Merry Christmas.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.